Another S&P downgrade, this time in Italy, has politicians up in arms.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. Italy today is slamming Standard & Poor's for downgrading the country's credit rating by another notch. Government officials there say they are working hard to boost the country's economy and reduce its debts. Isabella Bufacchi is a reporter at the financial newspaper Il Sole 24 Ore, and she's with us now. Hi, Isabella.
Good morning.
What was the downgrade mostly about?
Well, funnily enough, the downgrade is about what we already knew, that Italy's growth is slow, is weak, and it's getting worse. And also that the political situation in Italy is really unstable.
Did anyone see this coming? I mean, we've been talking about Greece for such a long time, right?
Yeah, well, actually, last May, Standard & Poor's put our A-plus rating on negative outlook. And also Moody's has got us on review for a possible downgrade. So what is, I think, new is the speed that the Standard & Poor's rating has come, because it was announced last May and we got a downgrade right now.
And Prime Minister Berlusconi was very defiant, right, in his response. But what is he going to do, or what can the government do?
Well, the government is saying we just announced a very big restrictive budget cuts in spending and higher taxes. And then they say now we're moving on to growth reforms. We have been hearing about reforms for growth for the past 10 years, or I would say 20 years. So that's the situation.
Isabella Bufacchi, a journalist at Il Sole 24 Ore in Italy. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
Here in this country, the Federal Reserve starts another two-day meeting today, sorting through a number of proposals to give a jolt to the economy here. One option, lowering long-term interest rates, helping home buyers and homeowners. But that could also hurt long-term investors. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer now on how the Fed will try to dance around the idea.
The Fed is considering this scenario: replace some of its short-term bonds with long-term bonds. That would reshape the Fed's portfolio. The Fed tried this once before, during the 60s, when everybody was doing this.
Come on, baby. Let's do the twist.
The Fed's maneuver became known as Operation Twist. The idea was drive up demand for long-term bonds. The higher the demand, the lower the interest rate the government has to pay. Other long-term interest rates, like mortgages, tend to fall too. That's good news for home buyers and businesses trying to borrow money, but the twist would be very bad news for pension funds, which tend to hold long-term bonds. Returns on those investments would spiral down as interest rates fell.
I guess it is a story about unintended consequences.
Brad Houle is a portfolio manager with Davidson Investment Advisors. Those consequences he mentioned? Well, corporations with pension plans have to keep a certain amount of money in them. If the plans lost money, corporations would have to divert profits into the plans. Alan Glickstein is a senior retirement consultant with Towers Watson.
A lot of that extra money that's going to go in over the next couple of years is not going to be able to be reclaimed. It'll sort of be trapped in the plan.
And can't be used to create jobs or buy new equipment. Public pension plans for state and local government workers would have an even harder time. It would be tough for cities and states to raise taxes now to cover losses in their pension plans. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Overseas markets are mostly higher at the moment, but shares in Tokyo lost a little ground today. IBM has agreed to some concessions to appease European investigators in a long-running antitrust dispute. Big Blue didn't admit fault, but says it'll make it easier for companies that use its mainframe to get spare parts. U.S. markets yesterday, the Dow gave back 108 points to close at 11,401.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines. And by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
To all of our jack-o'-lantern fans in the Northeast, this story will likely make you scream. Seems Hurricane Irene damaged a lot of pumpkin patches along the East Coast, and as Marketplace's Sarah Gardner reports, that could mean pricier pumpkins in that area of the country.
This year's northeastern pumpkin crop appears to be cursed. Jim Murray grows the Halloween staple in upstate New York.
The season started out bad right from the get-go.
Heavy spring rains delayed planting, which means less growing time before retailers demand them in stores for Halloween. Then, flooding from Hurricane Irene destroyed hundreds of pumpkin patches.
We're going to have about 50% of a crop.
The shortage could jack up jack-o'-lantern prices in the Northeast this season, but Justin Talley at Fry Farms in Illinois wants to squash that fear.
Even on short years, sometimes pumpkins may be harder to find, but the price usually falls within the same realm that they've seen in the past.
But this season's trick on northeastern pumpkin farmers may be a treat for growers in the Midwest. Pumpkin farms in states like Ohio and Indiana are prepared to ship some of their crop east to ease the shortage. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And finally, by now you probably have heard, Netflix is going to focus solely on streaming movies online, spinning off its DVD-by-mail service to a new company called Quixtar. Nobody was more surprised than Jason Castillo, whose Twitter account is at Quixtar, spelled the exact same way. In just one day, Castillo has amassed thousands of new friends and an offer for the Quixtar folks to sell his handle for the right price. In the meantime, Jason... Quixtar's got other more important things to tweet about, like getting stung by a bee before going to play soccer. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Don't Ask, Don't Tell goes away on Tuesday, but people discharged under the policy wanting to get back into the service isn't going to be all that easy.
It's not the Navy that it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. The retention across the military is high. The Marine Corps has a waiting list to get in.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Big lines, long waits. Next time on Marketplace from APM. That's American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.